So today, or over the years, that's your childhood was always that struggle of constant survival. And it's unfortunate because that's a time where you're dependent. Now turning that over to an adult, what would be some of those low points, and then to your higher point?
As an adult with my children now, I see some of that relating to as when I was a kid. There's sometimes when there's always the food there, there's always the clean clothes on the back and the taking care of the children. But there are those times of struggle when there isn't enough sometimes. And just having to work through the day-to-day activities, I guess, and being in college and trying to find time for your studies and taking care of the kids, and sometimes when they get sick, you're not able to attend class. And I guess it's a real struggle in that sense. But we always make it through eventually.
Do you find that some of those hardships, I would call that a story of resiliency, for a child, getting through that? Do you feel that that's contributed to your strength today?
Yes.
Can you explain how it offers strength to you?
Yes. It gives me strength in a sense of where I have been to where I am now. Like I was telling my son the other day, I've been to practically the bottom to, I mean, I've been down so low that I don't see no other way but up. And my strength now, I was telling my son about, I feel like one of these days, all of this endurance of the struggle and stuff will eventually pay off. And we will be financially stable and in our own home, and I get to watch my grandchildren grow and all of those things.
So there is a sense of faith
Yes.
there.
Yeah.
So there's a seed of faith that has you believing, that gives you that strength and the belief, the hope to go on, knowing that there's reward at the end.
Yes.
So that keeps you and your family going.
Yes.
And some of those rewards that you're seeking out would be financial stability,
Stability, yes.
which provides security. And what were some of the other things that you had mentioned?
Home ownership.
Home ownership. That's always the struggle, right?
Yes.
As you mentioned, struggling from day-to-day survival, home ownership is on top of the list. And financial stability and home ownership go hand in hand. And so, some of the other things, what would be, thinking of rewards, what are some other rewards? Getting your education, is your ticket,
Yes.
to these rewards.
Yes.
What are some other things that are going to help you get to the reward?
I believe number one would probably be my education, my experiences, probably the people that I meet in these experiences, whether it's with school or not with school, after school activities,
So supportive social networking.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about the spirituality piece? Is that a big player in this?
Yes.
Okay. You want to share a little bit about that, how you get strength from that?
There is numerous times when I want to give up and quit. And as being a child of an alcoholic, I picked up some of those tendencies when I was very young, I think 13 years of age. And I wouldn't say that I was an alcoholic, but there was a time in my life when alcohol, there was nothing more than I can think of. I guess you would call it an alcoholic, but I went for like a week straight of drinking, even at school, after school. And I wouldn't wake up to look for it, but I would do my daily activities and still afterward get drunk. And I started to see that, and it kind of slowed down when I became a parent, but it was still there on the weekends. I thought I needed to go out and party and have fun, even though I was a parent. I got a babysitter, and I thought I was doing all right by my children. Until one night I seen my son seen me intoxicated, and I felt a big, a huge amount of shame and a slap in the face, because I told myself, I made this promise to myself at a very young age that I would not be how my parents are. And when he seen me like that, I immediately said, something's got to stop here. I am becoming my parents. I need to let all of this go and find a different way of living. And I did that. I went as a teenager. I fell back from my church because it wasn't a cool thing to do when you're a teenager. And when after I got older and my son came along and I felt that shame and started to become my parent, I said, I need to change a way of living here. And I was always a believer, but through my teenage years, I would always pray all the time, but I never went to church. And so after the incident with my son, started to go back to church. And I believe with that helping me along the way, if it weren't for God helping me and giving me the strength that I needed to stay sober and be this person, I don't think I would have lasted. I think my peers and my family, everybody would have given in to them to the peer pressure of going back to alcohol.
So you mentioned God in the church was mm-hmm. your safe haven.
Yes.
Because surrounding you, it wasn't just friends, mm-hmm. it was your own family as
yep.
well.
Yep.
So that makes it extremely hard to try to change your life. You mentioned that the shame and your son and seeing you that way and you were becoming your parents. Mm-hmm. You're repeating a cycle?
Yes.
You saw. Okay. Yep. So that gave you the insight to say, okay, I'm going to stop. I need to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And you sought church.
Yep.
And did you grow up as watching your parents seek out at church? At any point when they turned their lives around, was it church that they sought out?
You know what? I had written this question down in my diary prior to this because our instructor had asked us where our morals and values come from. Mm-hmm. And I had to question myself because I don't ever remember my parents turning to church. Mm-hmm. We're Episcopal, mm-hmm. and there's the Episcopal church where you attend on Easter, Christmas, baptismals, that sort of thing. But I never understood the nature of it. I never understood. In our church, they speak the Lakota language. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't taught the language, so I couldn't connect on a personal level to that specific church. However, the Assembly of God Church that was down the street from us, they spoke English language. They sang English songs, stuff that I can relate to. They had a children's church there that I attended when I was a little girl. And that's kind of what sowed the seed in me, I believe.
Okay. So your parents took you to that church as a little girl. Is that right?
No. It was a van that used to come around and pick up kids, and I just jumped on it one day. My older siblings had gone to the church prior to. So I think following them there had led me to the church.
So the van, it was a church van.
Yeah.
It was a church family that came around and picked up children from the community?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. So what would you say were some major life breakthroughs for you? Major life breakthroughs. It would probably be some of the things you mentioned, is that the aha moment that I'm becoming my parents. Would you say that was some of your breakthroughs?
Yes.
Were there any other kind of breakthroughs that made it happen for you?
I remember one time I moved here to Bismarck, and I remember searching for a church here. Being new to the community, I didn't know which church did what, and I tried out the Evangelical Church, I tried out the Baptist Church, and I didn't find the Assembly of God Church, which I'm currently in, but I was looking for this church, and in doing so, so much time had passed when I first moved here that I become too trapped up in my own world, and I started to forget about the Bible and God. And years has passed, and I remember my daughter being born, and it's my firstborn daughter, and it was just like being pregnant for the first time again. After four boys, I finally get my girl. And but she took up all my time, and I remember struggling with her dad, who was also an alcoholic at the time. And it was an on and off relationship, and he was in the home, out of the home, and to treatment and back and all these other things. And I remember questioning myself that I knew I was clean and sober, but their dad was not clean and sober. And I remember saying, I took this vow a long time ago to be the clean and sober parent, but yet I'm allowing him and their lives to give them the same exact childhood that I went through. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do something about that, and I had to put him out of the home. And when I did so, I took him off the lease, and I was serious about leaving him this time around. And doing that, he wasn't allowed to be on my property. I wasn't allowed to be at the house, and I was living on housing this time. And he was gone for about a month, and he had came back, and he had sworn he was going to be sober and clean this time, and I forgave him and let him back in without doing the proper paperwork of allowing him to be at the house. And so I was in violation of my lease, and they had asked me to leave the house. And so here I was in my own little comfort, thinking that everything's okay and I have my own home, and everything at one point is just taken away from me. And I'm like, I have five children now, and I don't know where I'm gonna go. I don't have a home. And at that point in time, I remember blaming God, asking, how can you do this to me? I've been doing good and not drinking, and thinking that I'm being punished for some reason. And I remember living out of a hotel because I refused to go home. I did not want to go home and live with my mom in her two-bedroom house with my five kids and me. And so I remember moving into a hotel and staying there and trying to work out of that hotel, porting my kids back and forth to school and what basketball practice, and me trying to still, I was at college, still trying to finish my degree. And then my funding fell through at the college, and they said that I was no longer to finish my college because I had a bill and I couldn't come back the next semester. And so it felt like everything was falling through for me, and like I had lost all hope, and I said I was just going to move home. And at the same time, to add more to the plate, I guess, Randy gets drunk and gets in trouble with the cops, and almost has our daughter taken away because he had her at the time while I was at class, and he was drunk with her. And so I had to go and deal with that mess. But he was taken to jail, and so I was there alone. And I remember moving home, and it was such a difficult time at home because it was the reservation has not changed in, I would say, 13 years since I've been back there. But everything is just alcoholism and the drugs and not a sense of hope, and people just kind of the same thing, different day aspect. And I felt really bad for people back there because they don't know anything better. I mean, they haven't seen anything. And I remember saying to myself that I did not want my children there. I did not want them growing up with that all around them. And I remember praying, asking for a home and for God to help me provide a home over their heads. And just by this moment, I believe Salazar was in the making. And I didn't get any because I wasn't a tribal, and I wasn't living on the reservation, so I didn't get my share. But they had made the people off reservation made a meeting, and we went up there and we asked for something, and I believe they gave $1,000 to each member. But and with that being given to me, I went, and I was being still without a house. I went up, came straight up here, and I paid off my bill with my Salazar money. And immediately they said I can move into a home. And when they gave me the keys to my house, it was a struggling process trying to get back in school because they said I needed to go here and there and back and forth. And it's just, I remember sitting up here Monday through Friday. I remember making the commute from Mobridge to Bismarck every day that whole week. And finally, because they were giving me the runaround, I had paid my bill. I have to go over here, and something else didn't go through. And then the housing process, and I remember that Friday, Donovan said, I'm giving you your acceptance letter. He said, it feels like I'm giving you your diploma because you've been here and all the hoops you had to jump through to get this. He said, you're finally going to get into school and get to, and I remember just feeling a sense of accomplishment and going to housing and getting my key for the first time. And going into the house, it was empty, but going into the house just knowing that I will have four walls and a roof over my kids' head, and that's all that mattered. And getting my education is just a plus. That was probably one of my biggest struggles.
And also your one of your high points.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there.
Yep.
And so, and Donovan, just for clarity for the public, Donovan is the admissions.
Yes.
What is it? What's the official title? Admissions coordinator.
Yeah.
Or director. Okay. So what were the struggles? I must have missed something. What were the struggles? Why it was hard to even get into college?
I had paid my bill, but I had to go to... I didn't pay it all because it wasn't enough. It was a $4,000 bill, and I paid $2,400, I believe, to get in to get my bill to under $1,000 so I can get in accepted. Okay. And I had to go up and meet with student accounts to set up a bill payment to pay off the rest. Okay. And so, and then I had to go downstairs prior to their agreement, go downstairs to financial aid. And because I have exceeded, because of starting college and quitting, I have exceeded my amount of financial aid. So I wasn't funded in that aspect. But I got my higher ed from my tribe, and I had to sign up for Leadership Through Experience, LTE, to work to pay off my bill. And then at the same time, I had to go back down and I had to apply to get into the criminal justice program. Mm-hmm. And that is a process because they do a background check and all of that good stuff to even get into there. So that was a waiting process too. And then finally, my final step was they accepted me through the criminal justice program. And just she wrote me up a acceptance letter, and my acceptance letter was my key to get into my housing, to take to housing, and my key to get into a house. So that those were the hoops that I had to jump through.
So that would be the real high point right there, is once you got the acceptance letter into college, and then the house.
Yes.
Then you knew you were on your way.
Yes.
And everything, so knowing how hard it is to get there, there's an appreciation that is created through that hard process.
Yes.
So then would you say that brought more value to being at school and taking it serious?
Yes.
And really putting all your heart into it?
Yes.
And like you had mentioned somewhere in the past conversations that there was no going back.
Yes.
You can't see any other way but up.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what continued to bring resiliency within you.
Yes.
And so what is the main driver of you breaking cycles?
My children. My children are my main driver of... I see so many with all of my brothers and sisters. We're all grown now. We have children of our own. And I see so many. I see the cycle just to begin to repeat itself, repeat itself, and repeat itself. Not only through my siblings, but through my cousins, my relatives, my friends, their friends. I just see that on the reservation there, to the cycle repeating and repeating and repeating, that I said to myself, I want to be the person to stop it. I want to be in my family, I would like to be the person to end this cycle and break it and not have it repeat.
That is huge. That, you know, I wanted to get to the, there's always something that brings resiliency. There's something underlying that motivates us to be resilient. There's always that underlying piece, and you mentioned it, it's your children. And that is so important, because we're the teachers.
Yes.
We're the direct teachers to them. So the love for our children. And would you say that you would have been able to do this today had you still been using alcohol or drugs
No.
in your life?
No.
Or allowing, you mentioned that you had accomplished sobriety, but that you still were involved with somebody who was still
Yes.
addicted and using alcohol.
Yes.
And so had you stayed in that relationship, you would have been basically still kind of living that
Yeah.
life
Yep.
and teaching your children those things that you chose not to do.
Yes.
And so making those decisions were vital. They were hard decisions, but those are the decisions that brought the outcome that you are in today.
Yep. Yes.
That is great. That is huge. And those are the things that I want to share that will hopefully help others who are in those situations try to make decisions about their life path and you know, trying to discover that hope. You know, the hope for the dreams that they have, the hope for the dreams that they can pursue them. that they can actually achieve them. But that it has to start with the actual discovery of it lies in their own back pocket. And them having the belief system, that seed of faith that they can, with the help of a higher power. So that's what I want to get to, is who do you give the credit to?
To God.
To God. And it's okay, so God is who you would give the credit to, and who else as far as people in your life that help make that happen?
I would say my pastor, my church family, my parents.
And would you even say your children?
Yeah, yes, my children.
And what would you give credit to outside of people? Like what? For example, the faith that lies in your heart?
Yes.
Is there anything else that you can think of?
I guess just my endurance.
So those experiences.
Yes.
That made you who you are today.
Yes.
Would you say that we can be a victim, but we can end up as a victor?
Yes.
That it's important. How? What kind of recommendations would you give, or advice would you give to those that are still seeking their path? They're on their journey right now, and it might look hopeless right now. What kind of advice would you give them as they're in that discovery process?
I would say not to give up. That there are, my thing I tell myself every day is there are people out there in worse situations than what we have encountered in their day-to-day experience. There's always someone who has it worse, and or the situation could be worse. And my thing is, I would say the scripture that I refer to is, with God, all things are possible.
In that scripture alone, did you carry that with you?
Yes.
And did you memorize that?
Yes.
That got you through split-second hardship moments?
Yes.
That can make us react, that can break us. And because we all know that for some of us who went through treatment to get over our addictions, we take some tools with us. And in that, there are affirmations, and some people choose to use scripture. And would you say that scripture is what helped keep you on the path?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your time today, and this will be a very big contribution to our Native American people. Thank you.
Thank you.